Okay, well, I'm going to grab a stool. Because I don't know how long I can stand. For those of you who don't know, maybe I'll talk a little bit about later, but I actually took a tumble down a mountain 3 weeks ago. So the fact that I'm here, standing, intact, pretty wild. That's okay. My name's Danny. For those of you who don't know me, I'm an associate pastor here. And one of the things that I've wanted to do for a while when I get up here is give you permission. I want to give you permission to say things. I want to give you permission to talk back to me. One of the pastors that I served under for a while, he said that preaching is a full contact sport. That means that I don't just get up here and just talk at you. This is me and you looking into the Bible, hearing from God together. And you can talk. You can say, wow. You can say, that's good. You know, it's for me. It's not for God. You need to encourage me. You can give me a really good Pentecostal, you know. So help me out. Help me out. It's my first week. Last week was my first week back, so I need the encouragement. Okay, so I work as the associate pastor here. I work mostly in the area of discipleship. A disciple, in this context, is someone that follows Jesus. So me, I just work with people and follow Jesus with them. If they need encouragement, if they need insight, if they need learning or wisdom, whatever I can give, that's what I do. And one of the things about discipleship is it's progressive, meaning that it unfolds over time, but it requires total commitment. And I want to just shout out Jenny right there. I'll single you out again. You totally committed to coming up here despite what your feelings were saying, but you submitted to what he had you do. So together, I just want to say thank you for being the disciple that you are. Thank you, Jenny. So that was it. He doesn't call the qualified. Did you know that? He doesn't call the qualified. This isn't my one-liner, but it's good. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Meaning when he calls us, it's all at once. But a lot of the times we're not ready. We don't feel good enough. We don't feel worthy. He instead walks with us and we submit to him and he qualifies those that he calls. And that's a part of what we do here. That's a part of what I get to do. The privilege of what I get to do is help to equip those that he calls. Now, did you know that you're called? Because you are. Good. I love that. You, my friend, Brian, you encourage me, so keep that up. One part of being called is going all in. And sometimes we trivialize this going all in. There's many worship songs about, I give it all up to you. Refine me with fire, God. I want to give all of me to you. And it's like, man, but fire really hurts. Like, being refined isn't fun, but going all in is necessary. It's one part of being called. Sometimes we think that we need to be perfect before we can give what we have to God, or we just don't do it. And so you might be on one side or the other. That's okay. He just calls for us to follow him. And maybe this might strike you. We don't find God. He finds us. He finds us. We have to accept his call. That's our participation. I don't know. Let's turn today to 1 Kings 19. This is the story of Elisha. And spoiler alert, he was called by God. God found him and he called him. Where did he find him? He was plowing in his field. That's verse 19. That's where we're going to start. This kind of reminds me of when he found David in the field with his sheep. So Elisha was a farmer. And David was a shepherd. And when he found him, there. He wasn't where the people thought that he was, but God knew where he was. It says this in 1 Samuel 16:11. It says, "Then Samuel asked, 'Are these all the sons that you have?' 'Well, they're still the youngest,' Jesse replied, 'but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and the goats. Send for him at once.' Samuel said, 'We will not sit down to eat until he arrives.' He was in the field. He was where he was supposed to be. God found him where he was and called him." He always calls us all at once. It's not a progressive, maybe I'll follow him a little bit one day. It's follow me. But he didn't expect Elisha in this story to be a prophet immediately. He didn't expect David to be a king right away. There was no need for them to arrive or be perfect on their own strength. He just needed them to be obedient. For Elisha, it was this commitment to, yes, I will follow you. Same as Peter. Peter got called and said, I will follow. But for David, it was different. He just needed to be obedient enough to wait for the right time. These both require submission. They both require a sacrifice. And these both require total dependence on God. But all in all, we can't miss this. We need to go all in. But we walk it out one step at a time. We don't need to be perfect in this. But we have to go all in. So, Amy, do you want to put up my questions on the screen? I want you to weigh these in your heart. Yeah, that was perfect. Nope, that other one. Yeah. I want you to weigh these while I'm walking through this story. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to convict you. Where do I need to give up? Something, whatever, in your heart, in your life, in your mind. And I don't want to explain these. I just want you to be aware of them. So let's read 1 Kings 19:19-21. It says, "So Elijah went and he found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. And there's 12 teams of oxen in the field. And Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. Elisha left the oxen standing there. He ran after Elijah and said to him, 'First, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you.' And Elijah replied, 'Go on back, but think about what I've done to you.' So Elisha returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. And he passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant." Do you guys know that the Bible is powerful and that even from one word God can speak? We don't need to have a huge story to find purpose. And in this is a very small story. It's 19:20-21. That's it. There's so much in there. So let's maybe walk through this together. The first thing that I noticed is he was plowing in a field with 12 teams of oxen. 12. That's 24 ox. That's a lot. There's many of them. So that gives us a clue to a part of who he was, who Elisha was. He was rich. There was probably several football fields of land. One of the quotes that I found when I was researching this was this. It's one of my favorite quotes. So listen to this. "It also suggests that he was a skillful and powerful man. Controlling that much ambulatory hamburger is not an easy job." So if you're taking notes, thank you for the you can call this sermon Ambulatory Hamburger. Okay. I want to back up just a bit. I was too excited to give you my quote. So in this story, we're dropped into this drama of Elijah. So Elisha. It's hard. We'll get it together. Elijah was a prophet of God. He was really one of the main mouthpieces. That's what a prophet means. It means to be a mouthpiece for God. He spoke on God's behalf. He did things for God. And so he was working against the people that had strayed away from God and instead chose to worship Baal. Baal was this false god who, instead of, all the things that we know about Yahweh, our king, he was a god of materialism, mainly of rain. And so when they would harvest, they would need rain. Any farmer knows that. And he was said to control that rain. And so they would sacrifice and give to this false god of materialism because they wanted their crops to grow. They wanted the money from it. And so they, Ahab and Jezebel, the king, queen of the area, they called their people into idolatry, into false worship of a false god, and away from who they had chosen to serve for, I don't know, the rest of their lives, I guess. It depends on where they were at in that time. But in Elijah's time, there was few with him. Wasn't the only one, but there was few with him. He did many great things. He calls fire down from heaven to prove that God was the God of fire. He answered over Baal. But because of that, he gets exiled into the wilderness. He becomes depressed. He becomes oppressed by the people against him. And God has to remind him that he's faithful, that he's faithful to continue the work that he had called Elijah to do. And God, even through the brokenness and the depression that Elijah felt, God chooses to keep him in this plan, and more so the people who had been faithful to him. There's this verse in verse 18, it says that there's 7,000 who have not strayed, and he will keep those people with him. God is faithful even when we are unfaithful. Now, one of these things is that he is going to continue to be faithful. He's going to continue his work, and Elijah's time is coming. So he needs to anoint a successor, and that's where Elisha comes in. He's plowing in his field with his rich family with 24 oxen, lots of hamburger. And he, Elijah comes over and he threw his cloak over his shoulders. This question is almost like a, what are you going to do next? I have done this. How are you going to respond? What will you do next? This is the cloak being thrown over is a symbolic way to announce that there's a prophetic transfer. Something's happening. There's a calling happening. Now, Elisha would have known who Elijah was. He was pretty famous in that area. He was doing mighty works. He was outspoken against the prophets of Baal and also of the king and queen. So people would have known who he was. Elisha would have known who he was. And placing the cloak is not something that was foreign. It's foreign to us because we don't understand. But this was a common practice, and this would have been all understood. We just miss that context. So he gets called. So how does he respond? He says he left the oxen standing there, and he ran after Elisha. This, what are you going to do? And he said to him, first, let me go and kiss my father and my mother goodbye, and then I will go with you. And this first seems very reasonable. Like, man, I want to bring closure to the things that I have, the things that I'm doing. I need to pause for a second before I continue. I want to bring closure to the things that I care about. And he says this, go on back, but think about what I've done to you. It's a little bit hard to understand that. It's almost like he's saying, go on back. Yes, I give you permission. But don't get stuck there. Don't stop there. Don't let there be something that impedes you from moving forward in the call that I've given to you, the call that God has given to you. It almost reminds me of this time of a man who Jesus said something similar to. He said, come and follow me. And this man said, well, let me say goodbye to my family before I follow you. And this is what Jesus replies. He says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. That seems a little harsh, because Elijah says, yeah, go and say goodbye. But Jesus says, no, don't go and say goodbye. And it might be a little bit hard to understand why, but let me just tell you, Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater than Elijah. He is the I am. He is God incarnate. And when that man is standing there before God, it's different. He's calling him because he's God. He knows what's best. This is Elisha. So there's a difference between Elijah and between Jesus. This man's request is not granted. Jesus is greater. But sticking with this story, there ends up being this complete severance, this all-in moment, because he burns his oxen. He uses the plow to build a fire and roast their flesh. This is submission. When I talked about all the things that I talked about in the beginning, that's what I mentioned, obedience, submission. This is a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's, I know what I have been called to, and I know that I need to go all in. There isn't a half measure taken. It is all in or not in. So he goes all in. He gives all this stuff away. Our anointing, which is being called to something specific, usually being made holy for a purpose. Our anointing happens in private and in public. When we go all in, when we decide, there's an aspect that's private and an aspect that's public. All these townspeople, all the people that he shares this Thanksgiving sacrifice with, they become the witnesses that proclaims, I'm going all in. I'm following this man. I'm following where God has brought me to. So there's a private part where it's just him and Elijah. Then there's this public part. And then it says that he follows Elijah as his assistant. And when you look at that word assistant, it's almost kind of like intern. Has anyone ever done an internship here? Hands up. Internship? No? Yes? No? Nobody. Okay, I've done internships. Let me tell you, an internship is a lot like being a servant. You do whatever you have to do at the time. A lot of it seems like, why am I doing this? In my internships, I did anywhere from meaningless tasks, or so I thought, physical labor. One time I gutted a whole room and redid that whole room for part of my internship. It involves humility. And sometimes these tasks aren't fun. One of the things that he was actually going to do for Elijah was just wash his hands. And yet, he's excited to do this. That's how I know that is he eagerly burnt his only way out. He's excited to do this. It says he went with Elijah as his assistant, as his intern. And so, once again, I say to you, you're being called, because you are, and you're being called to go all in every aspect of your whole entire life. And that's a big, big, lofty goal. And that's happening all at once, but how you're going to walk that out is at one step at a time, one piece at a time. Part of going all in is giving it away to someone else. When we look at Jesus and what he did in his ministry, he didn't stop it with himself. He gave it away to his apostles, and then his apostles gave it away to others, and so on and so forth. And as we are disciples, as we follow Jesus, we also are called to give it away to someone else. We must fight well in the present. We must be prepared to fight well, just like Jesus did. His whole life he fought against demons, against people rebelling against him, against a bunch of different things. So he had to fight, but in that he kept his faith because he was all in on earth. Be because he was called to be all in. And then he trained up others to take that good news to the nations after his ascension. And when we look at Elisha, he was given this vision, this assignment, this calling. He was equipped to do all these things. And I'm sure that not only was Elijah a blessing to Elisha, but I'm sure the other way around. I'm sure that Elijah, the mentor, was blessed to have someone, was refreshed to have someone. I could say that about David. I was refreshed to have him, and he said that he's been refreshed to have me, and I get to be that blessing. So as we approach Easter, it's good to remember our communion question, that Jesus had to go all in. And it wasn't that he had to, he chose to. He chose to go all in for our sakes, to give up his aspects of his divinity. He chose to become like us, human. He chose to be in a weak, frail body, experience temptation, bear the sin for all mankind for all time, and to die a brutal death for us. He was all in. I hope that as we approach Easter, you can remember that and keep that in your heart. And the last thing I want to tell you is going all in is worth it. And so when I fell, because I told you I fell, that's why I'm sitting. Because normally I like to be a little more ambulatory, I guess would be the right word. And so we were hiking, me, David, and a Bible college, came out, we took them for a hike, and there was this slippery rock face, and I made the decision to go down it. I didn't think there was another way. Apparently there was another way, because everyone got down the other way, but I thought that was the only way to go. So as I lowered myself off this little 5-foot drop, I lost my balance, fell back on my wrist, and then fell off of that ledge backwards, landed on my back. 5 ribs, 6 places fractured. Then I spun around midair, saw a tree on the ground coming towards my face, and my forehead bounced off the tree. That's what broke my fall. And I couldn't, I was in shock. I was laying there going, I don't know what's happening. People ask me, did it happen in slow motion? No, it happened in regular motion. I don't even know what was happening. It just happened. And as I was laying there, I thought, is my back broken? No, but I can't breathe and my ribs really hurt. And so luckily we had a David who bounded down the mountain like a mountain goat and was there by my side right away. And also one of the Bible college people that were with us was a paramedic. And so he rolled me over, said, there's no vertebrae protruding out of your back, Danny. You're going to have to walk down. And I'm in shock, so I don't know what's happening. I don't know how to deal with this. But he said, you're going to have to walk down. We're not going to carry you. I'm not exactly, 50 pounds, so it'd be a little tricky. And to get medics up there would be hard, so you're going to have to walk. And so I said, okay, you're going to have to help me up. So he helps me up, and I get to my feet. And with my ribs hurting, it's hard to take a breath. My head is fuzzy and spinning, and my knee was hurting. My wrist had puffed up to the size of my hand. I wasn't doing too well. And the first thing I said out loud was, Jesus, you better get me down this mountain because I'm not making it. And I said that out loud. I said, Jesus, you're going to get me down this mountain. I need you right now, so strengthen me. And I started walking. And then I got back to the trail because that was, thank goodness, that was the last little bit of actually down part from the mountain. Now it's at the bottom. Now I just need to walk down the trail. And I didn't know what to pray because I was still in shock. I didn't know what to pray, and I started speaking in tongues. And I don't know what your stance is on that, but I immediately felt strengthened. I didn't know what to pray, spoke in tongues. Immediately felt strengthened. And then I had this guy named Malik, and he was from Greenland. Yeah, Greenland or Iceland. I'm pretty sure it was Greenland. Yeah. And I had a concussion, so you can forgive me for not remembering. But he held my arm the whole way, and I leaned on him the whole way down. It was, I don't know, felt like half an hour. It probably wasn't that long of a walk, but the whole way down, he supported me. And then when he let go, I was like, wow, I didn't know how much he was supporting me. And someone asked me, what are you preaching on today? I said, I don't know, I guess this. And so what I want to tell you is, whether you're in your lowest low or your highest high, going all in is worth it. Because he got me down that mountain. Later, he supernaturally healed me. In a week, I healed more than I've healed in the last 2 weeks. I was able to move around, get up, do things that I wanted to do because he was supernaturally healing me. He supernaturally gifted me with a family. You guys here bringing me food, calling me, texting me, coming over, helping me. I went all in. One day I decided I'm going all in because I was called all at once. Yet I'm not perfect. One of the things that got prayed for me, because we all took a moment to stop before we drove to the hospital, just a moment, I was okay, to pray. And the group gathered around and prayed for me. And I don't really remember everyone's prayers. I know they prayed for healing, and praise the Lord, he sure did. I had a lot of people praying for me. But the only prayer that I really remember was Caitlin's. And Caitlin's prayer was, help him to be a witness for you. I thought, man, I'm like, should be dead. Really, I should not be okay at all. And here's this girl asking more of me. And that was my first thought was, what do you mean be a witness? And I thought, oh, that's right. It is my job. It is my job to be a witness. I am all in for you, God. And then I went for a CT scan. And I had to lie down. And this was after 15 minutes of literal torture trying to get x-rays. Like lying down, standing up. This lady asked me to roll on my side. I was like, lady, my ribs are broken. So I was not okay, and I had to lie down on this table. And Jose was behind me, and she didn't know how to quite support me at that time. And I wanted her to push on my back as I laid down, and instead she didn't quite get there. And I had to hold myself down that whole way, on the way down, and as much as I was trying to be a witness, I swore. Can I tell you that? Because I was in pain. I swore in front of that lady. And I was like, I'm supposed to be a witness to you. And I failed. And I remember sitting there in my hospital bed thinking that, I've failed you, God. I was supposed to be your witness. And he said, you're all in for me, and I will make it so. I will take you there one step at a time. I don't expect you to be perfect. I expect you to be all in. So I had to repent for that. I was standing in worship today, and I felt that there was many of you here that were fighting against something. And I don't know what that something is. I don't think that everyone here is fighting against something. I think everyone's got fights, sure. But I think there's a couple of you that God wants to single out right now. And what he wants to tell you is that he is your victory. That you not need fight in your own strength. He will be the one that carries you through. He will be the one that creates in you the sanctification that you so utterly desire. He will be the one that carries healing to those that you've been waiting for. He will be the one who carries salvation to those that you are praying for. And he will be the one that heals your pain inside. Do you receive that? Because I believe so. Everyone here, would you agree with that for those people that are believing that today? So as we go all in, know that it's worth it. He sustained me. He carried me. He's given me another chance. He's redeemed my failure. And I'm going to see doctors and physio guys, and I get to be a witness to them. I get to talk about Jesus because they're asking me what I'm doing for work, and I'm like, hey, I'm a pastor, and it's so easy sometimes to talk about Jesus, and sometimes it's hard. So it's worth it to go all in. But you don't have to do it alone, and you don't have to do it all at once to be perfect. That happens over time. But the call now is to go all in. So why don't you pray with me? God, we thank you That's always where we start. We thank you. We thank you for the things that you're going to do. We thank you that you are victory. We thank you that you fight on our behalf. We thank you that you heal us, that you save us, that you love us. Help us to give it up. Help us to recognize where you're calling us and help us to accept that call, slaughter the ambulatory hamburger, and be public about it. Give us boldness to say, I am following Jesus. Release us of the temptation that we have to be perfect, because no one is. No one's perfect, but you are, God. So we love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you being called to give up your life? I would say, yeah. I need to give up my life every day, take up my cross and follow him. Are you being called to give up your priorities? The things that we think are higher than him, the things that we think are more important than him, or are we being called to give up our preferences, the way that we want it rather than the way that he wants it? I don't know about you guys, but for me, I need all three. I need all three. Amy, would you put up the big question there? When you get into your groups, I want you to talk about just that. I always, every single time I come up here, I always try and tell you something that I did wrong, because I never want you to think about me as some sort of amazing, perfect person. But I always want to showcase that God rescues me from my imperfection. He's with me in my imperfection. So, would you also be bold with your group? Would you talk about where you are at? Do you need to be giving up your life again, maybe for the first time? Or do you need to remember your salvation, come back to your first love? Are you being called to give up your priorities, which really is just going into deeper relationship with God? Or are you being called to give up your preferences, which is moving further, being called further to purpose, to holiness, and maybe away from sin? Like I said, I think we can find ourselves in each one. But where is God calling you? Would you be vulnerable with those people in your group and turn around right now and spend some time praying, ministering to each other, and especially those people that need victory today? Pray for those people. Great. Go ahead.